Good evening. This is the Thursday, September 5th, 2019 Harbor Advisory Board meeting. We're in the Veterans Memorial Building on Surf Street in Morro Bay. And we are missing two members, but we do have a quorum, so we're going to proceed. We can do so without reservation. And so I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance.
Lynn, you want to lead us?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so the next item is Chair, Advisory Board, and City Council Liaison Announcements and Presentations. Madam Councilwoman, have anything for us this evening? Okay, thank you for being with us. Jean?
Earlier last week, there was a ton of anchovies in the bay. It was really kind of nice to see them all come in, and then they only lasted a day or two, and then they all went back out. Been quite a bit of halibut fishing in the bay, and that's good to know. I've seen several boats with several halibut, so I even caught a few. So it's good.
You're going to disclose the secret spot to us?
In the water. Do you want to know where I was catching them? Yeah, right on the side of the lip.
Thank you, Jean. Lynn?
The whale watching has been fantastic.
Okay. Therese?
I recently found out that the Santa Crawl did not get a grant from TBID, so it's been going for 2 years. And as a community member and as a business owner, it has been something that has been a really good feature for Morro Bay. As a resident, I got to go into businesses that I wouldn't normally go, and then I went back later and bought Christmas gifts. So I think it's good for the economy that's local. So I really hope that they find the funds, and possibly TBID will be able to give them some money towards that, because we really did like the Santa house and all of the other 12 days that that the nonprofit put on for the season. So I hope that they find their funds.
Okay, thank you. Dana?
Well, summer is coming to a close, and there's been a lot of recreational boating of all sorts going on, and I would say for the most part everybody's doing a good job of staying out of each other's way and not bumping into each other. The whales, yes, they were going off just driving up Olive Street a couple times today. Every time I came down, straight out there, like a fountain going off. So get out and see them.
And on October 12th, the Community Foundation of Estero Bay, which exists to raise money to help kids who could otherwise not afford to do so participate in organized youth sports and recreation, is having its premier fundraising activity, Morro Bay Sings. And it's food and live music and a live auction and a silent auction. And the musical theme this year is Beach Boys. So there's some posters around town. You can go on the Community Foundation of Estero Bay's website. You can buy tickets ahead of time. You can buy tickets at the door. It's a great time, and it's a great cause. That's it. So this brings us to public comment, and this portion of public comment is for things that are not on the agenda tonight, or for anyone who is unable to stay for an agenda item that is on the agenda. Each agenda item has public comment before it goes off. I will share with you that even though the agenda has the B5 item regarding liveaboard service fees is at the end, we will probably, with the agreement of the rest of the board, we'll move that up to the first one. And so bear that in mind, because we'll get to it here pretty quickly. So it won't be at 8 o'clock tonight or anything like that. So do we have any public comment for anything that is not on the agenda tonight or from folks who are not able to stay for a published agenda item? Okay, seeing none. That moves us to the consent calendar. Is there anybody, any member of the board that would like to pull A1, A2, or A3? Okay. So they're approved, therefore, as submitted. And that brings us to our business items. But before we do that, when the board on August 1 reviewed the proposed master lease fees for the harbor, a large number of them, I can't recall, 30 or 40 of them, a question was raised as to whether a board member, any board member who was financially involved or financially impacted by a particular fee item would need to recuse themselves from consideration on that item, not from public comment. They're free to make public comment from the floor, but recuse them from deliberation on that item. The city attorney has provided the city with some guidance on that, and I thought I would share that with the public. For matters that come before the Harbor Advisory Board in which a board member has a financial interest, such as a board member incurring boat slip rental or mortgage fees, per the city attorney, there is no conflict of interest due to the, quote, publicly general, end quote, exception. What that means is that the financial impact on the individual board member is indistinguishable from the general public. This does not, however, apply to a board member who is a Tidelands Trust Lands Master Leaseholder. Because these leases are not at any given time open to the general public, and because Tidelands Trust Master Leaseholders constitute a group of businesses less than 25% of all businesses in the city of Morro Bay. So the matter there, we have one of our board members is a liveaboard, but based upon the determination of the city attorney, there is no reason for that board member to recuse themselves on this item. So with the board's approval, I'd like to move B5 up to the front of the agenda. Is that okay? Okay, and we'll open B5 with public comment. Anybody who would like to provide, let me tell you how this is going to work so you can make...
Ron, can I interrupt for just a second? Can you go back to the consent calendar and make a motion to approve A1 through A3?
Okay. So entertain a motion to approve A1, A2, and A3.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. Thank you, Laurie. So the way we're going to handle B5 is... Hey, B.
Excuse me.
Hey, B. Thanks for joining us.
Didn't want to interrupt.
That's okay. So we're working on B5 on the agenda. And why don't we just give... And so the way we're going to handle this is there's going to be public... I'm going to call for public comment to open the agenda item. Then there's going to be the staff report. And then following the staff report, which may provide additional information or thought, we'll call for public comment again. And once that's done, we'll bring it to the board. So public comment is now open for agenda item B5, which is presentation on master fee schedule study results and a recommendation on fee recovery rates for Harbor Department liveaboard-related fees. And let me just say that in the master fee schedule, there are four line items that have to do with liveaboard. And the only two we are addressing tonight, because the other two have already been dealt with by the board, are service fees for moorings, which are monthly, and service fees for city slips, which are monthly. Those are the only two items. And maybe it would help if you would indulge me. I have a couple of notes here, which I'm not perfectly prepared for, that might provide just a little bit of background regarding this agenda item. Some of this is already in the staff report, which I'm hopeful that everybody that's sitting here has already read, so we don't need to ask the city folks to repeat that. If you have questions about them, of course. During the August 1 HAB meeting, the board reviewed all but three of the currently proposed fiscal year 2019-2020 that's the only thing we have anything to do with, master fee line items for the city. And the board provided its recommendations to the city council for those reviewed items. So we've already done that. The three remaining items are rental rates for the city's commercial fishermen boat slips and the two liveaboard service-related fees, one for moorage, one for slips. Historically, it's important to note, the city's waterfront property leases, the Tidelands Trust leases that have nothing to do with liveaboards directly, have contributed financially to a broad number of harbor-related fees. Given the current and projected financial situation for the city at large and the Harbor Fund, that is no longer possible. Also, the City Council previously established Resolution 6315, which by policy requires that 100% of the cost to the city of all harbor-related administration and services be recovered by the relevant fee or rental, whatever it might be, with the exception of commercial slip and pier rates, which by that same policy are 85% recovery. So that resolution, that City Council resolution, which is established policy, is the overriding context for this agenda item. In 2018, the city commissioned a comprehensive cost and fee study, the results of which were reported to the city on July 9th, 2019, and that report is included in tonight's agenda item. The study's recommendations regarding recovering 100% of the cost of liveaboard-related city administration and services is as follows, which brings me to the two agenda items tonight, or I should say the two elements of this agenda item. One, liveaboard service fees for moorings. The current monthly fee is $17.40, and the study recommended for 100% cost recovery, $90. It's important to note that service fee covers a portion of city utilities, trash, bathroom maintenance, and the pump-out station. That's what the money's for. The second element is liveaboard service fee city slips. And that is, the current monthly rate is $35.80, and the study proposes that for 100% cost recovery, it'd be $100 a month. That service fee covers electricity, water, trash, bathroom maintenance, dock maintenance, and a portion of the pump-out station. So that's by way of background. I'm more open to public comment. Anybody who approaches the mic, you do not have to identify yourself these days. You don't have to tell us where you live, but I'd love to know who you are. And if you are a liveaboard or not a liveaboard, that would be meaningful for the public commentary, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Denise Jacobson, and I live on the Bay. And I came here tonight, actually, to discuss something else, but found out that I couldn't. But I'd really like to, I don't understand the service fees. I have no backup how you got to this point. I know you're saying it entails water. How much water? How do you know how much water we use? Have you talked to a liveaboard? Do you know what facilities we use? Do we use the showers? Some do, some don't. So I think you just kind of picked this number out of the wind, and I have to fall back on how, with mooring transfer fees, if you can approve $1,259 to process one piece of paper, I have a hard time believing that any of your prices are correct or have any backup. I don't see what your assumptions are on your budget fees. That said, before the meeting, I got together with Becca, and we have decided that we will work together. She'll meet with the liveaboards, and we can discuss all these things. So what we are hoping is that you can postpone your vote to go along with the fishermen when they have their vote in November, and that we can work out some of the details. But I will leave the floor to other people that I know they have a lot to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Hello, my Hi. Name is Anastasia Rutschow. I am a liveaboard off of Tidelands Park. So I'm here to give some input as a liveaboard on what our facility use is actually like. So right now, the service fee is stated as being for trash, restrooms, and water. So right now, our trash does not even open to allow a full bag of trash to go inside, and it is locked 24/7. So I don't use that trash bin. I have a private person that allows me to use theirs. As far as they took away recycling for that, we use minimal water. I have 118 gallons that I fill up maybe once a month, and I don't shower at the public restrooms because they are in really poor condition. Most of the time, the water is cold if it turns on, and you put in a quarter for every 2 minutes of use. So I am already paying for that water if I want to go use it, as well as for the restrooms. So the restrooms are open near the Harbor Department and for Tidelands at night for liveaboards, because otherwise they would be locked, as far as I understand. So right now, this increase, we're paying for somebody to not lock a building that is open to everyone all the time. And in which case, I would like to say I don't even feel safe using at night. I have been in the shower at night, and men have come inside and knocked on my door, and it's a bad situation to be in. So as a liveaboard, imagining a 430% increase for these services that are not adequate and not something any of us right now want to use does not seem to make any sense to us. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next.
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Moore. I'm the owner of the Tanya B, right across from Tidelands Park. And the question that we have, a lot of us have, that we've asked Harbor, and what are we actually paying for? Because everything that we're paying for, anybody that comes to the area in their own boat from Avila get for free. Avila comes down and they fill up their water. The amount of some of these boats and yachts that come through here, 500 to 1,000 gallons, so they can go to Mexico. We don't spend that much water in 9 months. So if it's going to be to where we're paying a fee for something, what are we paying for? And Avila as well, they come in, they use the sewers and everything else. Everybody has access to the water that's down there that we're using and that everybody else is using. And when it comes to the bathrooms, just like she was saying, it's a little ridiculous. I've had to throw people out that are basically living in their shower so I could take a shower. I always had to take my own shower head because those were always stolen. And then the coin machine will get busted. If we're going to pay for something, I'm willing to pay for something. But I don't see anything that we're paying for right now that the general public doesn't have for free. And it just it's getting to an issue where Santa Barbara, they all have keys. A lot of the other places, they have keys for private stuff. We're not asking for any of that. We're just asking for our rates not to be increased to this amount for something that we're already paying for that everybody else is getting for free. And if it wasn't for these people here, there's a lot of people that could have been hurt with different issues down there with the transients that come in. These are the ones that are calling the cops so people don't get hurt. And it happens many times, sleeping in our boats, sleeping on the dock, sleeping in the parking lot, sleeping in the little boat we have out there for our kids in the sand area. We're the ones that stop that, picking up the trash. That's our front yard. So what we're paying for is, we're paying, that's fine, but we're not seeing what we're getting out of it. And to raise it that high is something that not all of us could afford, and it's just something that is sort of extreme we see. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next. Don't do that, please. Please don't do that. If I remember correctly, what the city council asked for, if people who want to agree or give a sign of approbation, is that they raise their hand. Is that correct, madam? Yeah. So, okay. And who's next? Please. Please.
Hi, my name's Jesse Brazil, and currently I don't have a liveaboard permit. My liveaboard permit was taken from the Harbor Patrol because I refused to pay a $700 bill for supposed fees for me camping at the dock when actually it was me and my girlfriend. She was living with me on the boat at the time when I had a liveaboard permit. And we would go in the morning because she doesn't know how to row the skiff across the bay, and we would park my boat at the dock and go up and get coffee and donuts. She'd take off to work and
Jesse, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you because I'm going to have to interrupt you. We have to stick with the agenda and the two. And the you can keep going, but provided.
I understand.
So the issues are twofold, or in your case, it's just one because were you slip or moorage?
I have a private mooring that I rent.
Okay, so the issue is in your case is service fees, the proposed service fees.
Well, that's not necessarily true because I'm getting my liveaboard permit back.
This evening is about the service fees, and we just simply can't, by virtue of ordinance, we can't talk about things that are not on the agenda. We can't do it.
I understand that. So, can I ask a different question? I'll change the subject here towards what you're saying.
If it has to do with the service fees for moorings, sure.
Okay. So. You know, like he said, you know, we have these boats that come in here that are multi-million-dollar boats. They sit there and they have their hose connected all night to the water spigot. And they run it all night, and then they're gone the next day. They don't have to pay a dime. You know, on top of that, you know, I'm not going to pay for a water bill if I have to pay. It's called double taxation. You're not allowed to charge us a water bill if you're going to charge us at the shower head too. I mean, you know, it's wrong. It's not correct, you know, because I go in there, and half the time I put my quarters in there. You know, it's cold water that I'm paying for. It should be, you know, I've been down south before and seen all these other harbors. They all have private restrooms with keys, that, you know, for the liveaboards. And for me to feel good about paying you guys this monthly service fee, you know, I'm going to have to see some changes. Otherwise, I'm not going to pay, and I'll keep living on my boat, you know, and you guys will have to ticket me, and I'll just take it to the next court on up until something's done about it. Because, honestly, you know, I don't see why we have to pay a service fee at all. Because these are public entities that we're using. They're there for the public. I see people dumping their trash in the trash bin all the time. I can't even put a bag of my own trash in that trash can. I have a yard that I put all my trash at, our concrete yard in Cayucas. I don't even use you guys' trash can. Because of the matter, it's either totally full or you can't even put anything in it, you know. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a lot. You guys need to start thinking about where the money's being spent and what you guys are charging us, and the you know, you need to balance it out and think about it a little bit more, because these fees are ridiculous.
Okay, thank you. Sure. And just to clear something up, this body that's sitting up here right now, this is an advisory board to the city council. This is not the city sitting here. So we advise, we study, and we advise, but we don't make decisions per se. As far as the fees are concerned, those decisions are made by city government. Just to be clear, I'm not trying to avoid the responsibilities that we have. I'm just giving you information. So who's next? Please, don't be shy, please.
Hello, my name is Christopher Colpe. I live on a mooring at Tylands Park, and I just wanted to say that if there is a fee increase, perhaps it could be postponed until new facilities have been provided for us, because we all would enjoy good facilities, but if, I think it was November when they were proposed to increase to $90, and I don't imagine that by November anything will have changed, because it took, was it 2 or 3 months for a 2x4 to be bolted to the end of Tideland's dock? And, you know, that's, we can't tire boats to the backside of the dock that's provided for us, because there's a whole lot of eelgrass, which is important to the ecology of the bay. I'm in full support of eelgrass, but I also need to tie my dinghy to something in order to make it home and, you know, live on a boat. So.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Okay, who's next?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Craig Kent. I'm a homeowner and resident of Solvang. I'm here representing my family's interests. My father owns the boat Helene, which is moored off of Tidelands. I think he's owned that boat 40 years.
How long?
I think 40 years.
Really? Really?
Yeah, we've been using the bay for a very long time. Let me see if I can provide a little context. In my home, I pay $108 a month for water and sewer connection. I have 24/7 exclusive access to the water and sewer. I don't share it with anybody. My trash pickup is for both recycling and trash. It's $35 a month. Exclusive access. They pick it up every week on Tuesday morning. I also have green waste picked up every other week, so it alternates weeks. It's $35 a month. I note that I'm new to this issue, so I haven't been able to read all the background information. But it seems the apportionment is heavily weighted towards the moored boats. $100 a month for the slip owners, if I heard correctly, which includes 24/7 electrical and water, and I'm not sure about the sewage access on the slips. We've used them occasionally when we need to work on the boat, but we don't hook up to a sewer. On the mooring, there's no 24/7 water hookup. There's no 24/7 electrical, and if I heard it right, it's $90 a month. So I question the apportionment of those fees. Also, relative to my costs as a homeowner, I question the apportionment of those fees for non-exclusive access to a shower, non-exclusive access to trash facilities, non-exclusive access to water. They just seem abnormally high to me. And so I would encourage a reevaluation of those fees and a more appropriate apportionment for people on moorings, liveaboards in particular, or specifically. I do have former colleagues. I'm a retired manager from Raytheon Hughes Aircraft. I've gone a little bit native in the last few years, but I do have former colleagues who live in Newport Bay, San Diego, and Santa Barbara, and all of them are in slips. They all have key access to shower and bathroom facilities, and as far as I'm aware, but I don't know this for sure, the mooring holders do as well, except in Santa Barbara where they're in the exposed mooring and have to deal with the winds. Thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Please.
Arr. I'm Pirate Steve. I get blessed at what I get to do in life. I've been living and working in Morro Bay for going on 4 decades. In particular, I've worked on the bay with very famous captains over the years. Been very blessed. Unloading fish, working on fishing boats. And I like those, you know, when you're out at sea for a week or so, you kind of need a shower. So I've used that shower there next to the harbor department for a lot of years. It used to be in a lot better shape. Anyhow, it's in terrible shape. For anybody to even think about raising the liveaboard fee, service fee, on people that live out on moorings, it's just ludicrous. If anybody uses less of everything, it would be us people that live on moorings. Water, and of course, we're not plugged in. So, you know, I'm all for everybody paying their fair share. But when you try to make us pay for everybody else, I don't think it's very fair. Now, the people at land and whatnot, they're plugged in. They got a different circumstance. I know that things on the whole coast are rising. I've watched Avila change, Pismo change, and, of course, Morro Bay. So I hope that there's some reason, intelligent reason put in to this decision of raising our rates. I'm all for a little increase, but and I want to thank each of you for your service and what you do, because if it wasn't for what you guys do up here, you know, we'd have even a tougher time. So thank you for your time and service.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lori Toft. I just bought a sailboat a year ago, and it was a fixer. So I've been bringing it up to living standards, and I hope to be a liveaboard in about a month. And I want to start by thanking the Harbor Patrol, because I see them come out every morning and every evening. I see them monitoring the parking lot. I see them doing a lot, and I appreciate it. But to me, it feels like when you live in a neighborhood and a city patrol car passes by, it feels wonderful to have that. But really, it's my liveaboard neighbors that are keeping me safe and keeping our bay safe. And in my opinion, this feels like a huge penalty it seems disproportionate to put such a fee on people who I think are a huge asset to our bay. So what I would suggest, just as I've been thinking with other people, some of them have already said it, there's a lot of water going to paying for the fit to clean the fish. That seems like a lot of free water when we pay. Most of us have membership someplace else to shower, because that shower is pretty bad. What if we had stickers for the parking lot? We're paying for it. We ought to have a parking spot, and many times we don't, because there are a lot of campers there and a lot of tourists, which I understand are important, but that's like the only thing I use is a parking lot. I take my trash, I haul my own water out, and I don't use the showers. So like I said, or like Steve said, we have a small footprint, the liveaboards. We really are not using very much. And I think are a huge asset to the safety of the bay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ma'am, we're fine with the baby. You don't banish yourself out there. Really, we're absolutely fine. No, it's okay. It's great. Anybody else?
Drew Jacobson. I live on the bay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. First, I'd like to say thank you, Gene, for slowing this thing down last month and allowing the liveaboards to kind of come together and present our case to you. Although we were not contacted by any of the city as you requested, I don't know, is anyone contacted?
No.
Okay, I don't think anyone was contacted, but we managed to find out. Now, we got into this late, it's been about a week. So what we're hoping that you do tonight is just to slow it down. We had, as Denise pointed out, we had a chance to talk to Becca, and she was very helpful. So we ask you to please hold your vote tonight, kind of link us up with the fishermen's group. We'll be hopefully working with Becca in the very near future about it. We have some good ideas on how the city can make money. But again, I want to thank all of you guys. Thank you very much. And thank you.
Thanks. Okay, who's next? Oh, you're going to double dip us, Denise.
I didn't use all my time. I just wanted to point out, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, there are 30 permitted liveaboards right now. This fee only affects about 12 of us that are on moorings. So it's not a lot of money for the city to be making, but I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mike. I just heard about this like a week ago, and as far as slowing it down, that'd be great so that we can all, like, think about it and talk about it. I mean, this is the first I've heard of it. Somebody left a flyer in my dinghy, and I'm all for paying something, but when the shower is flooded or doesn't work or no hot water, and I shag out 4 gallons of water a week, that's about all I take out there, and otherwise it's bottled water, I just don't see it. I have to shower somewhere else because the facilities are terrible. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else?
Sorry, I'm used to clapping, but I had to clap with my buddy.
My name is West. I'm a recent liveaboard, actually. And I don't know, I have a few questions. So there was a study that was done by
There was a study done by a consulting firm that was hired by the city of Morro Bay. They were hired in 2018, and their mission, as I understand it, their mission was to interview virtually all the city employees to find out how they spent their time and what that time was. Let me put it differently. What activities their time was spent doing. And then the consultant took that data and compared it to employee costs and facility costs and a variety of cost factors, and then crunched some numbers and came out with their recommendations relative to the city's master fee schedule.
So they looked at basically what it was costing for the facilities and the staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they came up with a number.
That's my understanding.
And then how did the $90 come up? Did they just say, you have X amount of people living there, and then so we're going to just slice it out to everybody, you all going to pay this much?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay,
when this portion of public comment is done, then we're going to give the Harbor Department an opportunity to give its staff report.
Okay.
And maybe there will be more information coming.
I ask because it sounds like an outside group looked at a situation, came up with a number, and said, bang, $90. They didn't look at how are the facilities working for people, how is the trash, how is the water, how is this, is any of this working for people? I don't hear any sort of, bang for your buck. What are we getting for the extra 435%? And so far what it sounds like is the same old facilities, the same overflowing trash that's locked, the same shoddy shower situation, the same, like, for somebody like me, I don't have pump out from my boat. I don't use any water. I bring my own water. I don't use any electricity, nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't use the bathrooms, I don't use the showers, nothing. So it's just going to be basically like it was 17 bucks a month to have my boat out there and to have a place to tie up my skiff safely, and now it's 90 bucks a month to have the same thing. And so it just it's a kind of a frustrating sort of situation where it sounds like an outside group came in and said, hey, here's a pile of money that needs to be collected from somebody, put it on them. Are we going to fix anything? No. Are we going to improve anything? No. Are we going to give you any value for that 435% increase? No. So I would really encourage you guys to look at the situation and see, you know, you've got a number, but is it fair to the people that the number is impacting? Does that make sense?
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the staff report for this agenda item.
Sorry.
Ma'am?
Hi, my name is Mimi Goldberg. Good evening, the Harbor Advisory Board. And I moved to Morro Bay in 1989. I would like you to please recommend to the City Council to give the people on the moorings a break and at least give them some proper notice. You know, they are an integral part of our society here, of our nice little town. And also I have, though, seen the docks. I wanted to bring my hammer down to the docks and wanted to repair it myself so I can understand when we need the money. But, you know, you might want to think about the Avocado Margarita Festival and getting it from them. I'm representing so many people who would like to see trash cans put back down at the rock next to...
Ma'am, this is about service, about the service fee for moorings and
yes.
slips, not about anything else this evening.
Okay. Well, that's it then. Woo!
Okay.
I'd like to give a shout out to Central Coast Tattoos and Nautilus.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you so much. My name is David Perlis. I live my liveaboard right off of Tidelands Park. I don't think any one of us here who are liveaboards deny the hard work that Harbor Patrol does. We're all thankful for everything they do. But just to reiterate what so many people have said, it seems a little misguided putting these fees on the liveaboards. This outside consulting group that you say did this work, it sounds like maybe they heard the term liveaboard and they thought these are the people getting the most use out of these facilities. But in some ways that's true, but these facilities are largely or in totality open to the public. It's a tourist town. On every uneven day, there are fishermen coming in. The notion that liveaboards are taking advantage and haven't been paying their fair share, I think, is wholly misguided, especially for this sort of a rate. So it would be in the board's best interest, I think, to at least sit down, have the consulting firm get some sense of what our lives are actually like, and have us weigh in on this as well. I was wondering if, you know, you're saying that we have to be, or Harbor Services have to be recouping 100% of the cost. Exactly how much of a deficit were they in this past year?
I'm not in a position, we are not in a position to answer that question.
Yeah.
By that, I mean we don't have that information. That's a legitimate question.
I mean, it seems like if someone is saying, oh, we've done the math and you guys are going to have to pay an extra 435%, but someone should have to be able to answer what that deficit was that we're now going to be recouping. And I'm a little bit sorry that we're not able to answer that today, but I understand that you are not personally on the consulting itself.
Well, there is quite a bit of financial. I don't know that the answer to your specific question lays there, but there is quite a bit of information in the cost recovery study itself, which is attached to this agenda item.
Sure. Then just to then reiterate what like Drew and Denise have said, it sounds like this has been pushed on way too fast. If there is a lot of information there regarding the deficit, that's something that all of us should have some sort of idea of, and we should have some sort of a breakdown. And rather than just this group arbitrarily coming in and saying, oh, this small group of liveaboards, they're at the dock all the time, they should be paying their fair share, this breakdown and this rate increase, it needs to be wholly transparent and it needs to make sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Okay. So that brings us to, and remember how we're going to do this. We're going to do the staff report next, and then we're going to open it up back up to public comment after the staff report before we bring it to the board. Laurie?
Okay. Good evening. I'm not going to read the staff report per se. I'm just going to give you a little synopsis, and you covered most of it earlier. In your description and background. So last month at the August 1st HAB meeting, staff brought a presentation on the master fee schedule study results and the city's consultant recommendations on the fee recovery rates for the harbor department. At that meeting, harbor director Endersby gave detailed background on the fee study process and the public input forum opportunities. HAB reviewed the proposed recovery fees for the 1920 fee schedule line by line with yes and no recommendations except for deferring the commercial slip fees and the liveaboard mooring and slip service fees. Member Blackford requested the liveaboard service fees be brought back to the September meeting, which we're discussing tonight, with the board consensus. So tonight we're here for the harbor advisory board to revisit and give input on liveaboard service fees and give the liveaboards the opportunity to provide input. The staff report details the costs to provide liveaboard services by the harbor department, includes current rates and proposed new rate calculated by the city's fee study consultant. So that's pretty much what the staff report is. And to answer the question, what the consultant came up with our cost to provide liveaboard services was $38,965. And what we, as a department, collected for revenue was $7,500. So that's how the consultant came up with the cost rate. And in that, I'm going to bring it back to HAB.
Can you repeat those numbers? Give me just half a second here. Lori, is that page 528?
Yeah,
is
that's it, the
graph on page 528?
That's
the matrix?
Graph.
The matrix, yeah. So give me just a second. Let me pull it up and be happy to repeat the numbers. Give us just a second to find the right document.
So total cost, which would be employee costs, the program costs, citywide overhead costs, all together, all of them came up to $38,965. And with the total revenues of $7,500. And that's what the consultant came up with after he had crunched his numbers.
And for those of you that may have the agenda item picked up on from the back, if you go to the cost recovery study that's attached to the agenda item, I believe it's page 528 that Laurie is reading off of. It's also online in the city's website. It's also, by definition, available online through this particular agenda for the Harbor Advisory Board because it's embedded in the agenda. So there's a number of opportunities. And Lori, if you know, if someone did not have ready access to the internet and they wanted to get a copy of the study, what would they do?
So there's a copy in the harbor office that they can have or use or look at.
Okay, and if they wanted to actually have one of their own, what would they do?
If they didn't have internet, because...
Correct. If they did not have internet and they wanted to have a hard copy of their own, what would they do?
I could make copies, but I'd have to charge them.
Okay. Lynn?
There's a copy fee that I have.
they also have a copy in the library?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No. Yeah. So it's in the harbor office.
So,
Matt,
would you mind getting a copy of
your thank you? You can download it online. It's online. It's always publicly noticed.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we can't have a general discussion. We can't do that right now. When the staff report is done and we call for public comment again, you're welcome to come back up to the mic. We can't do an open discussion. That's just not how we can do it. Lori, anything else on your staff report?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll open it back up to public comment again. Anybody who, following the staff report, would like to address public comment, you're welcome to do so. As it relates to the service fee issue.
Yes. Lori, can you tell me what is made up of the $38,000? Is that the 30 liveaboards that are spending the $38,000? And is the recovery free? Do you then get part of the fee from Marina Square, where some of those liveaboards live?
I appreciate that question and the related questions that other folks have answered. And I think when it comes back to the board, I think we'll discuss a mechanism, a suggested or recommended in our case mechanism, to have the liveaboard folks get together with the city and get whoever that is. Can you turn that off, please?
Steve, shut it off.
I understand the desire, and we need to figure out how to facilitate
that
process.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else for public comment?
Thank you. Having not seen this report, does it... I get the $38,965 is the estimate for what it costs. Does it or how does it distinguish, use costs incurred by liveaboards versus just the general public?
I don't think we have that information. I understand the question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have that information this evening. And brings me back to, in my mind at least, there's a need to provide some facilitated way to satisfy that.
Yes, sir, thank you. That seems like a paramount issue that I think a lot of us are having. And I think, especially thanks to Drew, who's spoken with Beck, it sounds like I think we are happy and willing to work with Harbor Department. I think, just to reiterate, just slowing the process down, and that would help mitigate a lot of saltiness on everyone's part. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment before we bring it back?
I don't really understand what any of that, like, $38,000 means, and I won't even really try to, but it sounds like it's citywide, not just Harbor. And I don't know if anyone's looked for a home to rent in Morro Bay lately, but so many of them are just Airbnb rentals, and I know they're not contributing to the community much at all. And I know tourism is important, but in what way is the city benefiting from that other than a few restaurants and stuff like that? So it seems unfair that such a marginalized group would be paying so much for that when big corporation things like Airbnb don't contribute to Morro Bay at all.
Anybody else?
I'd just like to reiterate that there appears to be some lack of clarity in the apportionment of the fees, and there also seems to be a lack of, maybe a lack of awareness, but certainly it is not clear how the liveaboard costs are differentiated from the public costs and how they were allocated to the liveaboards, particularly those people on the moorings. And I think those folks deserve a very clear breakout of that explicitly. Thank you.
Thank you. Give me just a second here. I'm taking notes as you folks talk to us. So give me just a second here. Ma'am?
Hi, my name is Mimi. And I just want to know, like, why did it take so long for you guys to figure out from $7,500 your intake to $38,000? That's a huge amount of money, and it should have been a lot less time. That's a lot to figure out now. I'm sorry. You can recommend to the city council that they get another person to do another survey. And I think we need a second opinion. I think that would be great for everybody. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one question. All these boats that are destroyed every year that come, our boats get, these so-called derelict boats that are taken away from people like us. They get $10,000 per boat. You guys get $10,000 per boat to destroy them. Why don't you guys take that money and pay for the $38,000? You know what I mean? Where's that money go? Is that going back into our harbor? I don't think so.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hello. My name is Jason Mayer. I'm currently shopping with my wife and baby that you saw. For liveaboard harbors, so we've been looking at San Luis Harbor, Morro Bay, San Diego, San Francisco Bay Area, and Santa Barbara. And as I've heard from many of the people here, I'm very familiar with the showers in San Luis Harbor. I would encourage you to go take a look at their showers versus your showers. They have four or five very nice private showers, clean showers that are cleaned every day. Frankly, the showers in Morro Bay are pretty scary. And so that's a consideration for us as we're shopping for places to live. And frankly, if we decided to live in Morro Bay, which we're leaning towards, we would go shower in San Luis Harbor. As far as revenue, you're talking about $36,000. By my calculations, a shower in San Luis Harbor, and I assume here, I've never showered here, I've showered there, but the showers here are pretty bad. They're in a public restroom with like a stall door. The showers in San Luis Harbor, you have a private shower. You close the door behind you. It's private. There was a girl who said she didn't feel safe, and I could see that. You need to have a private shower for people for safety alone, let alone cleanliness and comfort and privacy. But as far as the revenue, the showers that I've taken are $2 to $4. There's lots of tourists, RVers, camper vans, people traveling through these areas. A $2 shower, if you had 25 showers a day, that's times 365 days a year, that's $18,000 a year. If people are taking a $4 shower, that's $36,000 a year right there from having nice showers. So I would say the way that I would solve your revenue problem would be to have nice showers. I see people all day long coming through in RVs, showering in the San Luis Harbor, campers, camper vans, all kinds of tourists. So I would encourage you to get nicer showers, and I think that would solve most of the complaints and money problems. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we're going to bring it back to the board. So let's see what we all think. Let's just share our thoughts before we do anything else. Gene?
As you guys know, I highly respect all the liveaboards. I think that's a tough road that you guys are out there doing, and I take my hat off you, the liveaboards. They're part of the bay. They provide a needed service on the bay. They're not getting paid for it. You guys provide service. You guys are the watchdogs on the bay. You're the stewards of the bay. And you guys know that, and I believe that. Running some numbers, at $38,000 and at approximately 40 liveaboards, that's $9,000 a year per mooring liveaboard. And it's like $800 a month. And then to ask for the mooring liveaboards, the moorings, to raise their fee five times what it's being right now, it just doesn't seem right to me. I believe that you guys are right, that the public is you're being asked to pay for the public's use of the services. And I agree that we should postpone it until we can get some more information.
Thank you. Thank you. Pete?
As a commercial fisherman and a slip holder within the harbor, we're feeling these increases as well. I've known many of the liveaboards for many years. In my opinion, the consultant that came up with these figures is looking to make up an awful lot of money in a narrow scope. I agree with a lot that I've heard tonight. Most notably, I would like the City Council to take a step back and give us some more time. Thank you.
Okay. Lynn?
Although I also, and anybody can see that this increase, the recommended increase for services is astounding. I think that if you look at the other side, the current rate is really insufficient, and the fees must be raised. It does not make sense to have a service fee of less than $20 a month for those things. Those services are available to you. Whether or not you use them is not always relevant. Everybody pays city taxes to keep our streets in good repair. Whether or not you own a car and drive it on the city streets does not make your a portion of the tax rate irrelevant. You still have to help pay for it.
Trace?
I can talk on this one. Okay. I have a couple questions. In Avila, Jason, can I ask somebody from the...
No. You can ask questions of the staff if you choose.
Okay.
Or from another board member if you choose.
Okay. Well, I wanted to know, because in Avila, is the water free when a boat goes up to the dock? Well, one of the comments was that people come over from Avila and they fill their boat with a ton of water. And I wanted to know, is that because they charge for it in Avila?
No.
Okay. Then the other, so there's 40 liveaboards in 30. And those also include people who live in Marina Square, right? And do they have to pay this fee as well?
They don't have to pay the fee if Marina Square is providing the service.
Okay.
Which they are.
Right. So we're talking about 30 liveaboards, and those ones that are at Marina Square are 18?
I have no idea how many are exactly at Marina Square. I don't have that information with me.
Okay. I just wanted to know how many of the 30 liveaboards are actually incurring these service fees.
About 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what she mentioned, and I just wanted to check that out, because that's not getting you to $38,000 even with an increase. Becca?
I believe there's a monthly service fee for liveaboards at Marina Square to be approximately $70 a month for mooring holders and $130 a month for slip holders.
Okay, thank you. How did we get to separate water use? Money fee, better services. Okay, so one of the things that I want to talk about as far as like the increase goes, I feel that the services that are provided for liveaboards is not worth that increase. And I would honestly, I feel really strongly about the safety issue too, and that there really should be some kind of lock for them. We talked earlier today, Lori, in regards to if you had it locked, then the maintenance would be better, then the safety would be better, and then possibly no quarter payment for the water. So that's something that's moving towards that increase fee. I'm not a fan of going 400 times, like do an increase. People have planned budgets, and so something of an incremental kind of apportionment of, you know, 100%, then 200%, then 300% from the original, and then finally in however much time that would be adequate would be my preference to an increase. And that's how I feel.
Thank you. Dana?
Yeah, first I'd like to kind of answer or clarify a few things that were said. First of all, in regards to Avila being free, Avila is a port and things are paid there by taxpayers' money. That doesn't happen here. A little part of property tax from everybody from San Luis and south in our county helps pay for Port San Luis. And we're not a port. We're a city, and this is a city harbor, and so all the costs have to be recovered. Also, transients on the dock, are they not charged? I thought when they stay overnight, they're charged.
Yeah, they're charged.
Yeah, I thought so. I used to be a liveaboard 35, 40 years ago. I was a liveaboard back when you could anchor for free in the back bay. And so I know the conditions and the situation in the facilities. And what a great place to be a liveaboard. However, I agree that this is a big increase all of a sudden from where it was. I do think that there needs to be recovery, but I think that maybe facilities need to come up a bit. I am in favor of postponing this also until something is hashed out. I kind of like your idea of a schedule of getting to that point. So those are my comments. Oh, one more thing. The destroyed vessels, those come from grant money from the EPA or from the National Estuary Program, and that money is only for that to keep the bay clean. We can't, that money doesn't go to the harbor and they can just spend it any way they want. It can only be used for that. I hate seeing that. I wish we had a boatyard. Half those boats would have been saved. So help us get a boatyard.
Yeah, apparently we can't follow our own instructions. So out of the, and this is by show of hands, please. Well, first I have a question. Is there a formal liveaboard association here in Morro Bay? And all somebody has to do is say yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you. And so given that, let me take a little poll. Of the folks that are sitting with us tonight on this issue, this particular issue, and there's quite a few in the room, 30-ish, 40 folks, how many of you, by show of hands, would be willing to actively participate or get together as a group to codify your questions and your issues and your concerns and your desires so that some representative number of you, less than 40, just to keep it manageable, could meet with the city if the city chose to do that? How many of you would participate in that process? Okay, that's virtually everybody. Okay, I'm not going to get into how that would be organized. That's not my business. That's your business. We, I think, as a group, would be happy to report to the city council who we serve that willingness and that desire exists. As far as the mechanism is concerned as to how that would happen and who would represent the city and who would represent the Liverboard group, those are details that we can't get into this evening, and we leave it to smarter folks than us to do that. I will offer that while the harbor department, the city of Morro Bay Harbor Department is charged by city government with administrating all matters in the harbor, to include the liveaboard service fee situation and the liveaboards. There are other people in the city who have been involved in the cost recovery study that was done, and there may well be other people in city government who would desire to participate. That's not my business. That's the city's business. But having said all that, I think what we need to do is we need to entertain a motion on this agenda item. How to move what we're going to do with this agenda item this evening.
I'll make a motion that we postpone A5 until we have a representative from the liveaboards meet with Harbor Department and work out some arrangements.
It's B5.
It is B5.
No, you said A5.
Oh, I'm sorry, B5.
No, that's okay. It's for the record. So
for the record.
Yeah. I would second that.
Okay, and could you repeat the motion for me, please?
I don't know if I can or not.
Yeah, I know you can, actually. I know you can.
I recommend to City Council that we postpone B5 until a representative from the liveaboards can meet with the Harbor Department and work out arrangements on fee structure and their concerns.
And Dana, you were the second, is that correct? Would you be willing, Gene, and the second, to modify that motion to substitute capital C city for Harbor Department?
Affirmative.
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. So we're done with that agenda item. So it's on you folks, and thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for expressing your thoughts. As you can tell, the board as a body understands your concerns and your desires, and several of us share some of your concerns as service in terms of facilities are concerned, and we're hopeful that out of this process perhaps something can happen with that. So to increase safety and to increase sanitation and so on. But that's a soapbox, so I'm done. Okay. So we're going to move on, folks. We're going to take business item B1. Business item B1 will give you folks a chance to move if you so want to move, so make all the noise you want for a couple of minutes. Well, it's up to them. It's up to them. Folks, if you could take your discussions outside, that would really be wonderful. Thank you so much. No, sir. The rest of the agenda has nothing to do with liveaboards per se. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Okay, B1, update from the Boatyard Marine Services Facility Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, last month we were tasked with looking into grant funding for a full feasibility study for the marine facility, marine services facility on the Triangle lot. We have a gentleman, Mr. Lou Tarnowski, who is has been his business to do grant funding for Cal Poly and a lot of other places. He's a retired gentleman who has offered his services to educate us and help us with all things having to do with grants, in other words. So we're planning a class on the 18th of this month, and we have so far we have four of our ad hoc members. Hopefully a couple more will show up to be informed on some of the particulars, and we'll go from there. Just it's a starting point.
Have there been any further developments on identifying potential sources of grant funding?
No, that's going to be, I'm going to be asking members to bring anything that they may find as, you know, looking around, if they could bring anything that they see to the meeting so that we have something relevant to talk about right then and there.
Okay. Any questions for Dana? Gene?
How did you get hold of this gentleman?
He was referred to me by Pandora, who is on our committee.
Anything else for Dana? Okay. So no action necessary on our part on that, other than to receive and file. B2, update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. The chairman of that ad hoc committee is not with us this evening. I'm on that committee, and we have nothing to report from the past 30 days. Any questions for the committee? Any requests of the committee? Okay. That brings us to B3, update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. Madam Chair?
We have not had any meetings, and there really is nothing to report since last month when our consultant said that we should continue as we are and not pursue the policy that we were talking about or having a mitigation bank because of cost. But one of our committee members, got an email from her, and she is asking for a final meeting, and I think she has some ideas. So we'll wait until Kathy gets back. We will talk to her and see if maybe there is something more that she wants to think about.
Any questions, comments for Lynn? Lynn, to state the obvious, the committee had a charge, and it needs to either move that charge along, excuse me for telling you, which I know you already know and have well in mind, or it needs to bring it to a conclusion, a reported conclusion.
Yes.
B4, update on the Harbor Department lease management policy update process. Two of the board members are in that working group. It's Charisse and myself. I did not attend the last meeting. I was out of town. So, Charisse, please.
Okay. I will be brief. It was just a meeting about words and choices, and it was pretty dry, just putting everything that we've been working on, all of the research, all of our minds together, and it's just mostly about semantics and syntax. And the next meeting, Lori, when's the next meeting? The
I believe it's the 17th.
17th. Mm-hmm. So we'll be meeting again, but we're getting there.
Do you have any thoughts as to how, when it might conclude, the process might conclude in terms of calendar?
No, I do not.
Okay. Okay. Any questions?
There's some things that are that seem like they will take a little time, and they might take longer. But we're definitely getting into just making a really good, well understood document at this point in time. And some things we're going to revisit that were small things, but really needed a lot of information gathered in order to get it all into the right context.
Yeah, I only recently joined that working group, and I was not involved in its first several meetings or its work, but I can tell you that based upon the draft document that's being worked on right now, if it concludes as it appears to me that it's going to conclude, it's going to be a vastly improved policy for the city, vastly improved policy. It's time well spent. Any questions or comments for Charisse on this agenda item? Okay, so that brings us to declaration of future agenda items. We have some listed already. Is there anybody that would like to declare an additional future agenda item? Okay, we have postponed for two meetings our little mini SWAT. I'd hoped that we would do that in the earlier this year so that we could plan out the balance of the year, but the calendar rolls on and we have ongoing opportunity. So we will get to that very quickly, and that will help us set some direction that we want to recommend to the council, and then council can give us guidance from there. Okay. Lori?
I did speak with Dwayne, and he is probably available for October to come back for the quota fund.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So an update for the quota fund. That'd be great. Yeah, that's a declared item, right?
Yes, it's declared.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Wonderful. That's great. Okay. Anything else, folks? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? You're in shock, aren't you? You're in absolute shock. I know you are. Yeah. Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Okay. Carries. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.